Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now, we got the Red Hot Cavaliers, and they got the Sixers tonight. No Embiid, no Paul George. Could that be 13-0? To talk about all of it, we welcome on a two-time former Cavalier, a former NBA champion, and now on the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out his podcast, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Listen to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Danny joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Always fun to talk with you, not just for your journey with the Cavs, but also just... We love your podcast, obviously, as well. I want to start here with our Cavs and how they're playing this year. Obviously, 12-0, franchise best start to the season. What stands out to you when you watch this Cavs team?
Well, I think they are ahead of the curve with most teams because they have a familiarity with each other. They've been together, this group, for a couple of years now. So it's good to see that they have, and Kenny Atkinson is, you know, letting them do a little more. Evan Mobley's taking a step forward, pushing the ball some. I like that. They're doing some things, man. The good thing is they're not 100% healthy, so they're playing great, but they're not playing the best basketball, so I think they could still improve and get better. So when Max Strus comes back, when they finally hit their stride, they're winning games, but it's not like they beat some teams pretty well, but it's not like they've blown teams out, but they're just winning games because they're actually, I think, maturing. And so they have an edge with knowing each other, and you know, in the crunch time moments, they're figuring out of you know how to come up in the big moments. So, which is a good, even though they're playing that they're really good basketball. Hopefully, they don't lay an egg tonight against Philly with those two guys out. But you know, they have a lot of room for improvement. Not a lot of room, but they have some room for improvement, and they have some games to some space to where you know they have some leeway to where they can, you know, rest some guys here and there, hopefully. Hopefully it's so they don't have any major injuries throughout the season, but they're on a really good path and a good route, and they have a pretty good lead on teams to where they have some games where they can be okay.
Danny, I think a lot of the credit around here is going to Atkinson, but you as a former player, I'm curious to find out if you feel like it should more be going to the players themselves, or is Atkinson doing something that you see that is just inherently different from J.B. Bickerstaff, and we should be giving him the bulk of the credit?
He should get a good amount of credit. I think it goes both ways. Obviously, the players are the one performing. He's figured out how to use them very well, but they're the ones, you know, putting the work in the summertime, coming in back in shape, coming back, you know, confident. Darius is in a different frame of mind where he's more himself and being more confident. Don is always Don, but Evan, you know, Evan's taking a step forward, be able to allow him to push the ball some and start the offense is great for them. Obviously Kenny has a good amount of credit for that, but the players as well, like they're doing a good job, and also they know each other. You know, they know they've got a better feel for each other, and pretty much the same group for the last two or three years now, which helps a ton, especially early in the season.
Danny Green, Odyssey NBA insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So obviously this is the franchise best fast start to a Cavs season, 12-0. The big in is 24-0, which the Warriors did. We're not there yet. Not even talking about that yet. But I'm curious, do you remember the best start to the season you experienced?
I do not remember, honestly. And I think even the teams that we were number one seeded by the end of the season, I don't know if we even started the season greatly. I remember a lot of times we'd start off rocky, either 0-2 or something like that, and then go on a spurt. I can't remember. I've been fortunate and blessed enough to play a lot of games and play in a lot of seasons. But I can't remember what was the hottest start that we had of being like 11-0 or 10-0 or anything, maybe 8-0 for me, maybe in San Antonio. But so most of the times it was like, you know, it was the story of, you know, we come out, teams have the a lot of adrenaline, and then we have the target on our chest, on our backs, and they're giving us their best shot, and we might lose a game or two to start early on. It's like a, and then we refocus, take care of business, and bounce back. And that's always been more of the ones that I remember than the ones that we started off hot or greatly.
So one of the reasons I'm asking is, you know, it's the fourth best start that anybody's had in NBA history. And a lot of people tend to start, you know, rethinking those preseason expectations. So just how much stock should we put into 12-0?
Not too much. It's still very early. You know, teams don't have their identities yet. I'd say around Christmas time, more teams do. But I put a decent amount of stock. You guys have been very good regular season the last couple of years. Playoffs is where the worry is, right? So if you can sustain this and keep the maturity going, I think that is a great stride. So I wouldn't put too much stock into it, but I think it's good. You know, it shows where you guys can be at in the East and hopefully get home court advantage against those teams that you're going to need home court advantage. And the biggest thing is, who's going to be the healthiest in today's league? Who's going to be healthiest during that time in April, May, and June? So hopefully you guys can continue to stay afloat or stay healthy, and then, you know, keep, you know, striving and going in the right direction. And then by that time, you know, hitting the stride of where's the maturity level, where's the experience level, who's going to step up, and what's Kenny Atkinson going to do, what adjustments and changes he's going to make to where you guys are taken seriously in the playoffs.
Yeah, Danny, I hate that you're right, but you are right. A lot of this season comes down to the playoffs. But I, for Cavs fans, we're just kind of enjoying the idea that the regular season is fun, and the regular season
you should.
You know? Yeah, so I guess I'm trying to figure out for yourself, what in the regular season can show you that maybe we'll see something different that will actually translate to the postseason for this Cavs team? Like, give the fans what they're watching for over the next 82.
For sure. This is great, man. This is a lot of fun. The cup games are fun, too. I want to see what they do in the cup games. I think the more of the stock you'll see is in the new year, the second half of the season, when they play the healthy big name teams, the teams that are, you know, you're going to see in the playoffs. When there's a healthy Philly, a healthy New York, a healthy Boston, even in the West, you play like a healthy Golden State, those teams. If you guys can continue to make good noise and stay consistent in those games, I think it'll make a lot of people more believers in you guys of being at least in the Eastern Conference Finals, because I can see this team doing that with how well they're starting right now.
Danny Green on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline here, former Cavalier, Odyssey NBA insider. So you look around, the Cavs are one of three teams in the East right now that are 500 or better. Orlando's the third team. They're 500. The Celtics at 9-3, and then the Cavs at 12-0. Do you think over the course of the next, let's say, 70 games, that the East will even out and be tougher?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think, unfortunately, there's so many injuries going on that a lot of teams are going to stay around the 500 mark until the second, like, toward, until closer to All-Star break. Some teams may, break away or get closer. But I think right now, if you guys stay consistent, you and Boston will be ahead of the pack. And it looks like y'all have pretty good solid locks for the 1 and 2 seed. You possibly could be fighting for the number one seed against them. Depending on how they cruise or how healthy they stay. I don't think it's because the East is weak. I think it's because it's tougher. You know, teams are battling, especially with injuries. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs. You know, you see Miami losing to Detroit. You know, things like that happen. It's unpredictable league, especially with these cup games, especially when there's also injuries involved. Maybe another team or two if Orlando gets Paolo back, Indiana maybe. But other than that, I see a lot of those other teams kind of struggling or teetering with that 500 mark.
Danny, we talked a decent amount about the idea that the Cavs have had one of the best offenses now in NBA history, because at one point this season they had the number one offense this year, which translated to just that, which it's kind of wild if you think about it. Do you like the idea that with each passing year, though, these offenses, we break more and more records? And that's a lot to do with the three ball, but we just got to a spot where they're finding ways to add to the game from a scoring perspective.
Yeah, I think also because the familiarity, they're also playing together. You know, they're getting uncontested shots, they're getting good looks, they're playing for each other and with each other. So it's like, it's great to see they're playing really good basketball. It's not like one-on-one, it's pick and roll, my turn, your turn. They're pushing the pace, and then they're having fun and enjoying each other's success. So it's fun to watch. It's a great thing to have, and that's the reason why the offense has been so great and efficient. They can continue that even on off nights. If you're getting uncontested looks, it's way more efficient, way better for your success. And if you're playing defense and you have those guys protecting at the rim, Evan and Jarrett, and then hopefully the guards pick up the slack of being better than they were in the past, it'll be a tough defensive team as well.
So with all this, because I know you said you think this is just kind of what the East is going to be, it's just a really tough conference. I mean, that means that the Bucks could be like an 8 seed, or that means the Sixers could be a 7 seed. So that first round matchup mm-hmm. could be Joel Embiid and Paul George, or Giannis and Dame, mm-hmm. depending on things go. Does that actually make mm-hmm. the potential pathway to an Eastern Conference Finals matchup tougher than if it was like a year where it was like the Bulls?
Yeah, it could be a lot harder. As you can see, New York, Boston, they're not getting the easy teams when they're playing the Miamis and Phillies. It's because they have injuries all year, and you have to play them in the first round. So it may make it tougher. That's why it's probably better. I mean, as long as you get home court advantage, you're a little bit, I'll say, safe. But it's better to have home court for sure. It's better to have the 1 seed because I think you're more likely to avoid some other teams, especially in that second round. First round may be tough, but that second round may be not as hard as you expect it to be because you'll have home court and it'll be a team that you just don't expect to be winning in that second round. Ultimately, it's kind of how Indiana got there, right? They had a good path. I wouldn't say easy path, but there was things, sometimes the luck of the draw. The deck, I wouldn't say was fully loaded, but they had teams that were injured, had some things happening, and they had a pretty good path. But they ended up playing Milwaukee first round and an unhealthy Knicks, and that's how they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So that could happen in any moment of the season, any juncture. So I guess the key is that the best thing is just continue to work on you, continue to get better, and try to keep home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
So with that, one before you go here, because I think you came close to saying something like this early, and I just wanted to circle back. Do you think there's any merit to the thought? Because I've heard some people, even some Cavs fans, espouse this, that the Cavs might be too good too early. Is that a fair knock on this Cavs team?
No, that's not a thing. I don't believe in that. I don't think being too good, that's not a thing. I think it's a great thing to be too good at any point. But it helps, I think, that you're going to jump on people early on, and you can use that and translate that to hopefully the rest of the season and finding your identity. You know who you are, what you can be, the potential. So it's a good thing to see that early than later or not. You don't want it to not happen at all or happen too late. Obviously, it's better to be playing your best basketball in March and April, but it's always good to be playing good basketball at any point in the season, especially starting out.
Danny, really great stuff, man. Always love when you're on. Love the podcast. Keep doing good work, buddy. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Danny Green there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Danny Green. Remember to check out the Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. There's too much green in that title there. On the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So I do want to get to that negative Nancy kind of thought on the Cavs. But he said something about the Cavs and the Pacers that the second I heard it, I didn't love it. Not his opinion, but what it would mean for our thoughts in this Cavs team. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Bug me hard, JP.
Yeah, he was not giving you the answers that I think you'd become accustomed to.
Well, so that I don't mind. I don't like the idea that let's be honest. The Indiana thing was some extension to the Atlanta run to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 years, 4 years previously, where it was seen as a very flukish thing. How is that this Cavs team? Like, this Cavs team has been
a top four
seed.
You're buying stock in Benedict Mathurin? Is that what you're telling me?
I actually like Benedict, but that, let's be honest, specific to last year's Pacers.
Got an interesting story. Born in Canada and then did high school in Mexico, and here he is.
Who hasn't been on that journey?
Who hasn't lived Benedict Mathurin's life?
Yeah, I mean, and with the name Benedict Mathurin.
It's a great name. It's an all-time great name.
Like, Hall of Fame of names. Right up there with Sicknarf Lufstock, which was Huff. Yep, uh-huh. He was a minor league catcher for the Guardians way back in the day. It was like 5 years. Years ago. Yeah, Sicknarf, wherever you are, we're not Sicknarf for you.
I mean, they got four guys right now. The Pacers got four guys averaging 15-plus points.
They're a good team.
They're not a bad team. I think a lot of people will get them the way you did, though. It's like, oh, it's the Pacers.
Yeah.
It was fluky in many respects.
Well, it was fluky because you got all the right breaks. I don't, why is that the, maybe I'm just being sensitive, but the idea that that's how Danny framed what a Cavs path to the Eastern Conference Finals would look like, maybe if you have some injury luck. Very good. insulting for a team that has won 48 plus games the last 2 years and has been a top four seed or top five seed each of the last 2 years. It was in the second round of the playoffs last year with no Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen.
We won 48 games. It wasn't 68 games, though. I think that's kind of how Danny's looking at it. I feel like we want to give him so much respect, and we want to go ahead. Like I saw an ESPN Power Ranking today, had the Cavs as the number one team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And after this start, I feel like we want to do that. And we look around and say, oh, great. The Bucks are a disaster. New York doesn't know what it's doing right now. Philadelphia is crumbling, and we see the pathway into it. I just think Danny just looks at it. He's just been around the NBA too long. I think he just looks at it like, we're not going to crown you before you actually achieve it. And even in the cases of teams like the Pacers, sometimes you achieve it just because breaks go your way.
So I think you're right. And I do think, like, listen, tinged with every bit of NBA analyst is just analysis. That's where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
Tinged with every bit of NBA analysis is just the fact that unless you're the Cavs with LeBron, you're not going to get any respect. Meaning like the postseason respect.
Unless you have a Giannis, an Embiid, yeah, somebody that's won a league MVP on your roster, unless you have one of those guys, you're probably going to fall into the other category. And right now that's where the Cavs currently fall into, which does sound mad disrespectful, but it's just how these guys look at it.
Yeah, but that in the end, I think it is just mad disrespectful. And here's the thing. I don't need number one power rankings. It's more the idea that you've already, like, listen, if you've made up your mind after 12 games the Cavs are going to be in the finals, you're probably wrong. Like, it's 12 games. That's not even, I mean, that's roughly, what, 1/8 of the schedule? At the same point, if you came into the season saying, well, that's a nice little second round team, that's also wildly offensive and wrong. Like the whole, like, because Golden State got this treatment the year that they actually won the championship. I'm not saying you're 14-15 at Golden State. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that first year where they were really, truly contenders, everybody picked OKC in that matchup. Nobody picked the entire, but they're a jump shooting team, right? It's not real.
Right, but you got to prove it to people first. And yeah, the Cavs, I don't believe, have proved it to people yet.
Well, okay, but it's also so early in this run. Like, and listen, I also think some of this is Donovan cynicism. It's like, well, I mean, he's missed her second round of the playoffs. I do think that's tinged in there as well.
That might be a part of it for a lot of people. I think you're very fair in saying that.
But I just think, like, the teams that upset the apple cart in the NBA are the teams like what the Cavs did. Like, this is so rare for a team to be able to hit the cylinders on, we drafted two guys who have, you know, franchise player tendencies in Darius and Evan. Then we traded at the right time for Jared Allen on the low, on a cheap. And then at kind of, and maybe a little early, but then we traded for a top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, and oh, by the way, we're doing this organically and building this thing over 5 or 6 years. And then we kind of switch gears to Kenny Atkinson. So, like, so that's one part of it.
That's why I think he's not buying into it, though. Part of the reason why, and Danny, I mean, he said that just as much. He was like, well, you guys, the Cavs know each other. This is year three of Donovan. Mm-hmm. You guys know each other. You played with each other. Donovan knows everything that Darius is going to do before Darius even knows he's going to do it at this point. And so I feel like you catch a Knicks team off guard because they don't know. They got a couple new pieces. They got to work in bridges. They got to figure out a new lineup. They got to figure out all these different types of ways. And I feel like that's where a lot of people across the NBA right now are looking at the Cavs. Like the wins we have and the teams are playing, it's because we got 3 years experience.
Yeah, but familiarity didn't save their ass last year. You know what I mean? So I think you are looking at this the right way. And I think, Danny, I understand why.
I think he's talking about early on in the season, though, is the key part of this.
And listen, if the overriding message is don't put too much stock into 12-0 because in the end the playoffs are what matters, I get that.
Well, and that just makes for an awfully miserable regular season, because it almost makes it seem like why bother with the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely
like what are we doing here?
Adam Silver probably should send out some sort of memo to all the NBA analysts and be like, can you guys stop mentioning that the regular season doesn't matter because you're only playing into a thing that's really tough for us to get people behind?
I straight up asked Danny. I was like, so what are we doing this for, essentially? Yeah. Like, what? And he's like, well, and then you could tell, too. He's like, he started to like, oh, yeah, well, the NBA Cup and these little things that the NBA's had to put in because you got to find a way to get people excited. You have to. But I do think the Cavs, I think we have a couple of things working in our favor, Nick, and I don't think he's wrong when he suggests the fact that we play together and we've been together, this team, for 3 years, and there are some other teams that are trying to figure it out and trying to get themselves going. That is an advantage early on in the season in the NBA.
Yeah, but I mean, so the Sixers are just...
It doesn't discount us.
The Sixers are really just adding in Paul George. Like, this wasn't a great offseason for player movement the way it normally is. Like, most of the teams that are back, I know...
Knicks changed up. You got two new guys in their starting five. Even adding Paul George, just adding Paul George is enough of a move in the NBA where you're like, okay, that's going to take more than just roll the ball out there and see what happens.
I mean, 2 years ago, the Suns replaced... I mean,
remember how impressed everyone was with by Christmas Day of the year that the Cavs acquired Kevin Love, that like things looked semi-normal and it was like starting to get there. It was like oh my gosh,
well, that was,
this is incredible.
That was Kevin Love, LeBron.
I know.
And then they blew the thing up at the deadline as well.
And it was like oh my god, I can't believe it. It looks semi-functioning. How did you add this into the mix? Like, it's just... Some of these things do take a little bit of time.
So there is the thing that it was tinged with that irritated me. But I'll just tell you, the other thing that I thought of is, like, because everybody's just on the Eastern Conference Finals or bust, where nothing else matters. So does that mean it doesn't matter how they get there?
No, it matters to me how they get there.
Meaning, like, if it's like the Pacers thing, where it's like, all right, first round.
You can't seem like a paper tiger.
Okay.
You got to get there, and you got to seem like the team they are right now, where it seems like they are not only a real threat, they are a team that isn't just, oh, we got the bracket broke the right way. No, you got to be a real team. I think about this with football all the time, Nick, and maybe I'm just wrong, but like the Steelers, for instance, in the past couple years, when they made it to the playoffs, great, congratulations, you made it to the playoffs. You're double-digit underdogs against the Bills in the first round, and Mason Rudolph's your starting quarterback. No one's taking you seriously. How you get there matters. And who you present yourself as when you're there matters as well. And I think that's why the Pacers honestly got so the flack that they got. I think it's because of that. They got up against Boston, and people gave the Cavs the round prior more respect than the Pacers got in the Eastern Conference Finals.
What's crazy about that is, though, nobody was willing to do that with Boston, who had the easiest path to an NBA championship in the history of NBA championships. Like, their first round matchup, there was no Jimmy Butler. Their second round matchup, no Jared Allen.
Well discussed, though. I mean, people in Boston radio talked about it when they were playing the Cavs, about how this would be, would it be less of a championship because they went through such an easy path?
Yeah, and then those Jagaloons conveniently forgot that when they won the NBA championship.
I don't know. They're pretty bitter people in Boston.
But my point is...
cynical, bitter people.
Maybe this is hearkening back to the overall brand bias that is very apparent in every bit of detail in NBA coverage. If the Cavs won that same way, that would be disputed. Well, I mean, you got lucky. But because they have Tatum and Brown, and because they're in Boston, it's not. And I think actually what you said is really interesting. Because in a way, like, if you get the paper tiger thing, where first round it's Milwaukee without Giannis, and second round,
yeah, there's just a rash of injuries.
It's Orlando without Paolo Banchero, right?
Yeah.
But in the third round, in the Eastern Conference Finals, you push Boston. I mean, really push them. 7 games, and it's a great series.
Yeah, and like Vegas has you as a pick'em in some of these games, and you're like actually looking at it like it feels competitive. It looks competitive.
Yeah,
that's a big win.
So that's more. So that's more important than the first two. So in a way, we're not just playoffs. Like, talk to me on the playoffs. It's talk to me when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think we'll know. Even if you have the wrong draw, if you make it to the second round, and we put out the standards there because they put out the standards for us. But if you make it to the second round, Nick, and let's say you're up against Boston again this year, like you were last year, instead of being 7-8 point dogs in every one of those games, Vegas is like, you guys, this is a close series. This feels like this could go either way. And then also when you're playing the games, you're like, oh yeah, we're matched neck and neck. Like that stuff should matter. Matters to me. I don't know if it matters to everyone else. Matters to me.
So I'm equal parts saying I didn't like the way Danny set it up, because it just felt like, I don't want to say stock analysis, because Danny's great. He really is. His podcast is great. But it kind of bugged me this way of, I'd be cute if you made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I mean, think about it. Like the Pacers, I mean, Nick, you're not wrong in identifying it because you don't want to be the Pacers.
Yeah, no, but yet I'm at the same point, I'm like, well, screw you, we're not that. And then I'm also, man, screw us. We better not be that.
The Pacers could end up being a 9 seed this year, and nobody would blink twice. You'd just be like, well, okay, something happened with Haliburton, but like that's okay. I see how you got there. It's not built on any foundation.
Or they could be a 6 seed and be one and done in the first round.
For sure.
Because I think that's more,
probably more likely, the more likely route.
And I think the one through line is so much of what the Pacers rode to the Eastern Conference Finals was that absolutely ridiculous offense and how quick the pace they played. And then they finally just played a team that could shoot better and play quicker than them or as quick as them. And then Mathurin got hurt. That was a big deal. And then Haliburton got hurt. That is the one through line that I would see with the Cavs.
You just wanted to say Pace and Pacers, didn't you?
I like that, too.
That
yes.
was fun. That's a
Their
hashtag
name is
analysis.
The Indiana Pacers, and they play with a pace. Fast pace. Like, what are we doing
here? See what happened there?
Like, NBA gods are getting a little lazy there if you're writing the AI right there. But if you're writing the script, I don't think you're writing the AI. I'm 100. But no, I mean, I will say, like, I think you've been saying, I don't think they're going to be the best offensive team in the NBA.
Well, I mean, right now they're the best offensive team in NBA history. I think we can readjust from that, can we not?
No.
No, okay.
No. This is who they are. No, I'm kidding. 216-474-0092. So I think what we're really driving at here is with what...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Green had to say, if you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, would it matter if you were this year's equivalent to the Indiana Pacers, a team that most people agreed last year would not have been the Eastern Conference Finals without pretty much every great break that you could possibly want? And when we come back, the one thing that I've heard a lot with the Cavs, and I just don't think it's applicable to the NBA and maybe Major League Baseball. I think it's a football thought that doesn't transfer over. That's next. The Cavs on 92.3 The Fan. When we had Danny Green on, we had asked him about the one thought out there. Because I see some Cavs fans. Like, we are... something that's happened in sports fans, and maybe it was always there, we just didn't have access to it, but Twitter makes us cognizant of it. The amount of people who, because the Cavs are so good, have to attack it to feel safe. Like the Randy Quaid in Major League 2, they're going to blow it. Like,
oh, I don't get that vibe. Maybe I'm just in the wrong circles of the internet, I guess.
So it's, where I've seen it? It's on the For You section of Twitter.
But that's a dangerous section of the internet.
Like, I see a lot of the Cavs love, but there is like a segment, and maybe we'll put it at 10%.
I'm off the For You side, by the way. I was there, I wrote it for a couple weeks, and now I'm off of it.
I'm addicted to it. You created a monster.
I know. I told you. I said it's a wild ride. You got at some point, though, you got to get off that ride.
The problem is that when you click into one Deion Sanders video, you then get 15 Deion Sanders video, and I was like, I really only needed one more.
You just can't live life in that fast lane, man. Not all the time.
Like the Eagles, that's where I am. Life in the fast lane. I was trying to remember any other lyric of the song, and that's all I got is the main name of the song. It's however, okay. To the crowd that might think the Cavs are too good too soon, that's just a football thought. Because you only have 17 games in the NFL, there's a real good chance you can play your best football in September. The two down years.
You mentioned the Eagles. The Eagles last year, for instance, they started off 10-1, and then they cratered. And because they cratered in such a way, they had no chance in that playoff game against Tampa Bay.
Well, I mean, 2-1, Kevin Stefanski in the Jacoby Brissett year. Like, that was, you got, all of a sudden, our expectations slingshot ahead because he started 2-1. And Mr. September Kevin Stefanski is more often than not started
I remember having a convo with Ken at training camp, and we were getting ready to do a show together the next day, and Ken was like, should we, if they get to nine, if they get to, you know, the time that Deshaun Watson is there and the Browns have nine wins, what are they, do they bench Jacoby? That's, we do that. You're right. Yeah. We do that.
So, but that's an NFL thing. Like, I think the Guardians proved this. Like, if the Guardians had peaked too soon, then they wouldn't have made it to the ALCS. Like, yeah, they weren't playing their absolute best baseball, but that kind of, that thing of, you're going to start really well for the first half of the season, then you're going to have a third quarter dip, and then you're going to swing back up for the fourth quarter, they just didn't swing up quick enough.
Like it was an odd season because they finished 27-27, perfect 500 for the final 54. Like it was an odd season.
But I kind of think that is the way. Like if you could tell players, where is the breakdown? Where do you want that breakdown? They'd put it in January and February, and then the first three months would look
good.
Down, yep. And then the last 2 months would be flawless.
If you have. I feel like if you're one of the teams like the Warriors, for instance, and you're a 73-win team, like they were when they went 73-9, I don't think any of that matters, right? I feel like in this instance, if you think the Cavs are a 55-win team, then trying to time it out would be ideal, but I just think it's an impossible thing to try to do. You just can't. Like Danny Green, I thought, made an interesting point. He's like, well, you take these runs when you get them because they're never promised to you is essentially what he said. Mm-hmm. Like you just never know that it's going to happen. And I think a good thing for the Cavs and Cavs fans right now is that you're seeing what this team can be when everything is clicking on all cylinders. And we're going to have stretches where they stink again, Nick, and they're not good. But we see what this is right now. This is a top five defense. And through the first 12 games of the season, one of the best offenses in NBA history is what they have right now. Now, yes, it's a product of the time that we're in. But yeah, seeing this tells me that for a 12-game stretch in the postseason, they can do it as well, and that's huge.
I just realized we failed our listening audience. We have yet to mention the path to 24 wins, and I don't know if everybody felt that last night, right? It was not a real-life earthquake, but it might have been a Cavalanche. Some big happenings for the Cavs.
The chase for the NBA Cup is on, and your Cavaliers are angling for their first NBA Cup championship. Nick and Jonathan have all the latest on the Cavs' midseason pursuit of greatness. Here's the Afternoon Drive Cupdate.
That would be a NBA Cup update, henceforth known as a Cupdate. Now, you thought you weren't going to get a Cupdate until Friday when they played the Bulls in the first game of the group
the
stage.
The NBA Cup is Tuesdays and Fridays all throughout the NBA season.
And you'd be wrong. I'm taking this from our buddy Danny Cunningham.
Like a promo on ESPN right there.
Cleveland.com, @RealDCunningham. He tweeted this out. Might as well have been popping some Blue Chew because I got so excited about this.
Yeah, check out his Substack, too.
He said the Atlanta Hawks defeated the Boston Celtics tonight in the first NBA Cup East Group C game. Pretty big upset in the Cavs group that could complicate who gets out of the group. And, of course, Cavs open up NBA Cup play on Friday at home against Chicago. I'm pretty sure the NBA gods just gifted you your path through the NBA Cup here.
Let's do it for the Cup. Let's do it for the Cup.
I mean, I think, why did every show not lead with this? We failed the audience, but, I mean, everybody else did as well. Big happenings.
What was the update again?
The Hawks beat the Celtics.
Hawks beat the Celtics.
In the first game of Group C, and that means something.
Well, I mean, it clears the door.
Yeah. Is it a door or is it a window?
I don't know. It felt right, but then it felt so wrong.
I don't know in the NBA Cup whether it's a door or window.
It's only four qualifying games.
Clears
the path, I think, is what we were trying to go for there.
It's a path.
The path to greatness. The path to the Cup. The path to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know what it means. I just know it means something good for the Cavs.
Well, what about point differential? Isn't point differential the biggest thing with the NBA Cup? That's why when you watch the game on Friday, the Cavs just can't win by 10. You have to try to win by as many as you possibly can because point differential is huge in this.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
Zero idea.
Okay.
It is still the most confusing idea in the world.
We only care about our group. We're not caring about, Embiid looked pretty awful last night. No. We don't care about that.
# suck at Group B because we don't care about you.
Okay, good.
We only care about Group C until you get beyond Group C and then you will care.
And then
but right now, none. I do like that we are 2 years. This is the second year we've done this and we already have think pieces on how do you fix the NBA Cup.
That feels right.
Yeah. How about you have more than two? Meaning, maybe, just maybe, we should get like 3 years in and have a sample size before we're like, we got to fix this thing. That is the worst thing that happens in modern sports, is something happens once, it isn't a resounding success, and we go, I think we got to fix this thing.
I just have no idea how the NBA can just put whoever in whatever group they want, and nobody is governing this. Like, who are these people? At least, like, when the College Football Playoff Committee, we at least knew it was Condoleezza Rice, and we knew all the names attached to it. We have no idea who in the NBA front offices are putting together these groups. Why are they allowed to do it?
Because.
It's for the cup?
No. Because. That means there is no answer.
There is no answer.
It's just somebody was like, Steve, the assistant scouting director of Toronto, he must be here.
As far as I know, it's just interns in New York putting together the group stages. I have no idea who's doing this.
Also, how the hell have they not televised, like, the
we
cup?
We need lottery balls.
Yes. Yes.
Every event is better with lottery balls.
And it's like the CFP, like the College Football Playoff Selection. Like, it doesn't have to make sense, but if you do it in such a way that there's mystery to it, everybody's going to lose their mind. So
who's their Bill Hancock?
I don't know anybody other than Adam Silver.
Okay.
Can it be Lenny Wilkins? Oh, I'd love if Lenny Wilkins was their Bill Hancock. Oh, we'd be cooking with fire then. So, the Cavs have not played in the NBA Cup, but your cup date today is the Hawks beat the Celtics last night in the first game of the Group C stage, and that means something.
But probably nothing.
But maybe something. Ross Tucker, NFL insider, on the Browns Saints, the importance of this game for the Browns, and maybe no cup date with Ross. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.